This is me talking about me. I have a very small penis. It's about the size of a millipede.
Two and a quarter's not bad. I'm just saying, 2 1/4's not bad.
Hung like a light switch, baby. What's your character's name again, Dustin?
Uthal.
Kayville.
I know my character's name. Thank you, Spencer.
See, I pay attention to nothing.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back. We left off last week just reaching a hill overlooking our target city of Iron Harbor, and it was looking like some bad news. But you guys did quite a bit that first run around, so I wanted to, I think, reward you guys appropriately, and everybody's going to go up actually 2 levels between the Yeti, the goblins, the swindling, and just good interactions. I think you guys have earned level 3 for each of you. So.
Oh, I've had no time to level my character. However, will I find time? Oh, it's magically done.
And it's done.
That's what we call computer magic.
So yeah, everybody's kind of going up to level 3, which is kind of an exciting level. It's where most classes kind of get their archetype. And you get to kind of explore a deeper range of your class, which should be fun. Additionally, Uthal, you went on several hunts, and I told you there'd be a reward for that. And so what you're going to get out of that is you're not completely proficient, and it won't be totally adept, but you're going to get half proficiency in survival now. So you can add half your proficiency bonus to any survival check. And that might improve in the future to full, but for now, that's the boon that you were granted for learning from your 2 companions who are now no longer with you.
Okay.
All right. So I know that I kind of railroaded you guys a little bit into this position. That was intentional because now
you really made us bend over backwards for that one, didn't you? Really railed us in.
Now is the time where you guys actually kind of get to take control, because I kind of got you. This is the real starting point of the story. The previous episode was all exposition and just kind of getting the feel. So you guys are sitting up on this hill. It's afternoon. You know you can make it to the city before sunset. But what is it that you 3 want to do with this site of a big cloud of smoke coming up over the place that you had worked for 2 weeks to get to?
I'm going to be mildly pissed because I intended on making money and obviously not going to make a whole lot of money from ruin.
Yeah, I'm going to be mildly pissed that I might not be getting paid.
I'm going to be a little more altruistic, you jerks, and want to go help the people.
Oh, somebody's high and mighty because they've got a god.
Yeah, dang right, I'll smite you.
Yeah, I'll smite you with something. So, just kind of gather, we're upon this site. About how far away is the town from our current location?
2-3 miles, as far as you can tell. Like, it's 3 p.m.-ish, but you can get there before nightfall.
Okay. Is it safe to assume that Dustin's character is familiar with this town?
Yeah, he had been here in the past with his father to do exactly this same thing, but not with this big of a haul before.
Okay.
And he still has the hall with him, right, Dustin?
I did. That was the first thing I saved when everything was going down. You were drowning.
Yeah.
I saved my scrimshaw.
Gavilt, do you know another route into the town? One less conspicuous.
So undo. What can I check with that? What do I know about this town? How familiar am I with routes and Well, I'm assuming that I'm at least somewhat familiar with circumnavigating the law and any sort of tolls that would be there.
So this is a pretty small place. It's not a permanent town. There's some permanent buildings that people come and like stay in for the summer, but there's like no walls. It's really slapstick. There's no real dedicated way in and out. There's like a muddy road that gets to one point of it, but it's pretty small.
All right, my friend, we just go straight down the road. No big deal.
I do not think that would be a wise idea at this time. As you can see, there is unnatural smoke coming from the village. It is best if we take a more cautious approach.
But we must hurry, friends, for we must aid those who are in dire need of our assistance.
Are you in such a hurry to die again?
I'm in a hurry to aid others, not just myself.
We'll take it easy. We'll go down the road, then we'll come round the corner through the trees. I'll go ahead. You guys wait.
You'll give us a signal when you...
Yeah, I'll make a sound like this. Pickaw! Pickaw! That means it's okay to come. It sounds okay. Just like the turkey bird.
As much as I hate the idea, it seems to be the only one that we will have.
So I want to sneak down, kind of, say, 100 yards ahead of these guys, have them 100 yards back behind me, and we're going to start moving towards the town.
Okay, give me a stealth roll.
All three, or just him?
Just him.
17 plus 2, 19.
Oh, very good. Okay. I will keep that in mind for anything you're trying to sneak around. All right, go ahead and you approach the town, and you said you're coming in kind of from the side, right?
Right.
All right.
Cutting it down low.
Yeah. And as you approach, you see blackened remnants of what used to be a small wall, almost more of a fence, but it looked like it was intended to be a wall. And you see a few buildings are still standing, but they're hollowed out by fire, and most have collapsed. Strangely enough, you don't see many or really any bodies among the ruin as you get closer. It's just kind of devoid. But at the same time, you do see signs of a battle.
Okay. So I don't see, there's no creatures around. Do I guess roll perception on that one? Do I see anybody else around there?
Yeah, if you're looking for somebody in particular, you're going to roll perception for me.
Yeah, I'm looking for anything that seems like there's a living people around that could kill me.
That could kill you. That's a key. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think I'm seeing shit.
Well, what was it?
I just rolled a 2.
Oh,
plus
yeah.
Plus 3, so that's 5.
Well, you can't go lower. Remember what I said. You can't really go lower than your passive perception. So.
Okay, fair enough.
And I think that's, what, 11 or 12 for you?
Yes. So a 12 then.
So, yeah, you go in. You don't really see anything in particular that's going to kill you. In fact, you don't see much moving at all. It just seems fairly devoid. You do, however... notice that there are a few stray weapons that look to be of dwarven make, as well as a few weapons that people might typically use.
Bastards finally came out of the hills
on the open ocean, you know, like cutlass or rapier, that kind of stuff. A few of those kind of things, just kind of abandoned on the ground. And what you did notice too. Is that when you look out to the ocean, there is broken ice to indicate that a ship has indeed already been here, at least one, maybe more.
How far away is he, like, from us?
Well,
like,
I imagine you guys didn't wait the whole several miles back. I imagine you approached a reasonable distance.
He was 100 yards ahead of us.
100 yards or so ahead of you guys.
Okay, so...
So, come, the fool is beckoned. Let us go.
I follow behind. I don't really respond that much. This guy seems kind of out for himself.
I want to search through the some of the remnants. Now that I'm coming out of hiding, I want to start kind of patting down bodies and see if there's anything valuable that I can find.
All right, roll investigate for me then.
That would be a 13 plus nothing, so 13.
As you're looking through the various. Things that have been scattered amongst the ground throughout and between the buildings, and you actually do see one thing of note. You see the broken top of a crate that says SCSC on it, like letters SCSC. And actually, on closer inspection of that, you can kind of see flapping in the breeze. Pinned under it is some paper.
I want to take that paper.
The paper is a ledger that shows what the ship was carrying, and on it is stamped the name of the ship that it came from, but the word and image are kind of half torn off. The image that you see, it looks to be the head of an animal with horns, a goat maybe, within a circle, and the letters H-A-V-S-B are written below it.
Hmm. Have we come upon K-Vault?
Probably at this point. I mean, you guys weren't... You heard the call, so I imagine while he starts looking, you guys are approaching.
Okay.
Okay, as a dwarf, do I recognize any particular symbol or anything like that? Like from... You said there was dwarven, like, make... Is there any kind of, like, symbol on the weapons?
As a dwarf, most of it went over your head.
Go ahead and roll a history check for me.
Okay. That is a 17... 19 total.
Oh, that was a great check then. Yes, you do see something here. You find a shield, and on it is a coat of arms. And what you see is a red anvil on a diamond-shaped field of gray. And with that history check, beyond just see the symbol, you recognize that is the symbol for Iron Master.
I tell them, my friends, and Uthal.
Is that really how you refer to somebody who saved your life?
Oh, come on, little friend. You've got to be nicer. You've got to be nicer to the big guy.
Very well. Sharandler does beckon us to show mercy and forgiveness to all those around us. But back to the matter at hand. These are the Iron Master dwarves who fought and died bravely here. We must discover why they had come this way.
Looks to me like they came in and destroyed the shit out of this town, my friend.
My thoughts exactly.
We don't know that they were the ones that caused this tragedy.
We don't know that they weren't the ones that caused this tragedy either.
They're not very big. They get angry.
Yeah, but could you really see them wreaking such destruction?
Madness pushes us farther than we ever imagined.
Have you ever seen a drunken dwarf?
Yes.
I mean, isn't that kind of an oxy? Aren't they all drunk? Isn't that the natural state of a dwarf?
That's racist.
And true.
Accurate, but racist.
That's racist and true.
Aside from the point, we do need to look for survivors.
Indeed. Let's split up, gang.
Well, hold on. Completely split up, or maybe I stay with somebody, the other one goes somewhere else.
You two travel together. I can survive on my own.
That sounds like a good plan. I'm going to stick my arm around Aldrich there.
So I do want to ask, I feel like with your history, do you recognize anything on that ledger that you found?
SCSC, I'm assuming Sword Coast Shipping Company. Recognize that part. HAVS, so it has Bakken, so I'm assuming this came from my old ship, my former boat.
Yeah, that's the intention. Do you want to share any of that with your companions?
Not a chance right now. Okay. They don't need to know where I came from.
Okay.
I respect that.
Yeah, I want to crumple that ledger up and kind of shove it in my bag so nobody else needs to see it right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Very well.
You two break to the east. I'll go to the west. We meet back here in approximately 10-15 minutes.
Let's make a half hour.
If you are comfortable with this, I will progress.
If anyone runs into trouble, signal the others with the call we used earlier.
Yeah, P'caw! P'caw! Like that.
Well, if I run into trouble, I guess I'm dead then.
Okay, so, going west, we'll start with you. What do you do?
As I'm progressing through, I would actually like to see if I can notice any distinguished traits, any buildings that are still standing, maybe. I would like to kind of search through.
There are a few buildings still standing. Not a bunch. Most of them are starting to cave in, but I would say there's three or four that do still have, like, walls and kind of a roof. So you're wanting to go into a couple of these houses?
Yes, I would like to be very cautious approaching them, as quiet as I can be, too.
Okay. You give me a stealth roll now, too, just to...
I'm okay with that. I am proficient in this.
Which is funny, because you're, like, what, 7-8 feet tall?
That's going to be 16.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. So you start sneaking around to the west, and... The first couple of buildings, you start to peek in. They look okay from the outside. Not okay. They look burnt and blackened. But you look in, and just the peeking in kind of shows you that they're not really structurally sound and not worth it to go into. Everything in there is just black and ash. No bodies, no really anything. Most of these places, most people wouldn't leave things behind in a seasonal town anyway. They'd probably pack it up and go home with it when the season's over. So there's nothing really of value that you see in those. You move on, and there's like a third house, I think, on your side that is still kind of standing. And this one looks like you probably could get into it. It is a larger house with a couple stories. And when you peek in, it seems to be a warehouse where the ships coming in would unload their goods. It's not far from the docks.
I would like to proceed to enter the rather large building.
As you enter, you see it's kind of covered in ash on the bottom. It is still standing. The roof is kind of gone, so there's bits of roof all over the bottom. Doesn't look like there's anything that's going to fall on you, though. There is a stairway that kind of goes up at this point to nothing, because, again, the roof and the second floor have kind of fallen down to the bottom. And give me a perception check.
16 again.
Okay, so kind of looking down and sifting through the ash a little bit with your feet, you do notice that there are drag marks. Like, this may have actually had boxes in it already this season, or crates, and they are now gone.
Okay.
But not burned up.
Well, yeah, because they're not here.
Right.
So there's, I can see no other boxes in the area or anything kind of, well, anything that looks out of miss out of a burned house.
No, just the clue that these crates were taken, not destroyed.
Okay. I mean, I would like to do a once-over of the area real quick, see if I find anything that's definitely of use or any other type of indication or clues or anything like that.
In this area, nothing really. It was, what wasn't destroyed was picked pretty clean.
And then I guess I will proceed to exit with the information that I have gained then.
All right, so let's switch over to Adric and Kveld. You guys are heading east.
So while we're heading east, though, I want to paint the picture a little clearer. He's kind of out there in the middle. I'm sneaking around the side about 20, 30 feet behind him just to see if anything happens to him so I can hide real quick.
Yeah, thanks. I was willing to be the bait.
They can't see you anyways.
Everything's safe, my friend. You just keep on going. I'm going to be right back here. I'm watching your back.
Very well. Thank you. Thank you very much for keeping an eye out for me.
I'm looking out for you.
While I'm walking, I would like to use my Detect Good and Evil spell.
Okay.
To see if I can sense anything in the area that might be a threat or need aid.
You don't sense anything immediately, good or evil particularly. Nothing sticking out. As you guys go this way, there are a couple buildings in the same condition as on the other side, which I know you don't know about that yet, but as you peek into one, you see that it was a house, one story, pretty simple. From the outside, you don't really see anything in it. There's still some walls on the inside that don't let you see the whole room, the whole house, excuse me, but it is pretty blackened and looks in pretty poor condition.
So, Having been here before, have been somewhat familiar with it, is there any place that I would know of that would have, let's say, anything valuable or useful where I would know to think of to look, I guess would be the way to put it?
No, because as this is a seasonal town, nobody would leave valuables behind for a winter.
Do we see kind of like valuables, like anything recognizable when we're looking in the house as maybe giving us a clue to who might have been there?
Honestly, just temporary traders, some fishermen, skrimshanders, the people that come in off the ocean might stay for a week or two. It's very communal. Like, it's no one person's house. It's you get there, you stake one out, and you have it as long as you're there, first come, first serve, and then you leave after your business is done and somebody else might take it up. So they get kind of cleaned out every time you leave because other people are going to be in there.
All right. Well, we carry on, just kind of looking around at stuff. Do we see anything worth reporting back on, or any signs of anything where maybe something happened or where they went after everything got done there?
As you're looking in this other room, actually, you hear a quivering voice coming from the other nearby building that actually looks somewhat sound. One of the few still standing, and you hear, "Yeah, you're not one of them."
I turn to where the voice is coming from. Do I see any kind of indication, any person or creature that might be there?
Yeah, you see kind of sticking partway out from the doorway, looking out, a young man, barely more than a child. He's peeking out from an open door frame. I would put him in his early to mid-teens. And you see him peeking out, looking a little bit fearful and just staring straight at you with a look of somewhat suppressed terror on his face. It was almost more of a question than a statement earlier.
Okay, I beckon to him, kind of holding out my hand in like a come here gesture. He's like, be at ease, child. We are not here to harm you.
I want to come out of the shadows with sort of a flourishy type way, like just pop up, magician style. I don't know.
Okay, so he was already not going to come to see the dwarf because he's a dwarf and because of the recent events that have been hinted at. And with a random person just popping out of the shadows, he retreats into the house quickly.
You certainly have a way with young ones, Caleb.
Children, they love me. They love me. Usually that trick usually gets them all so happy and smiley.
Yeah, I felt the love.
I'm gonna call to the kid, see if I can... Hey, you little fellow. The other little fellow. You come out here and you come talk to me. You come talk to Cavill. You know Cavill. He's been around, you know. He doesn't actually know me.
Go ahead and make a persuasion roll for that one.
Oh, game on, my friend. That's a 19 plus 7, so that's a 26.
Okay, yeah, he's fairly persuaded. I would say almost as persuaded as you can possibly be. He peeks his head around the corner, and recognizing that this dwarf and this human that he sees outside this house are not fighting, he cautiously comes out of the house, kind of shaking, and says, "They were only here this morning.
Who are they?
You tell us who they are, where they come from, and what is going on around here."
He looks around. He looks back at you and says, "Well, where did you come from?"
I came from the river. The ship broke. It wasn't my fault. I think we had too much weight on the back end, and it just split apart. It was a terrible day, really. But anyway, that's over and past now. You need to tell me what's going on. I don't have a whole lot of time. I've got to meet the big fella.
What big fella? What do you mean?
You don't worry about the big fella right now. Why don't we just tell me what's going on, and we'll go from there.
He was our traveling companion. He is searching for others.
You're giving him too much information. He needs to tell us some stuff first.
He's but a child.
Yeah, but a child, nothing. I was a child once. I was not so much good news.
Yeah, I imagine
so. He looks around cautiously and then looks directly at Adric and says, the dwarves did this.
I told you.
God. What do you mean? Why would the dwarves attack this town? Did they give you any reason as to why this could happen?
I was on one of the ships that came in early. I was just a deckhand. It was my first time out to sea, and we had come to trade. We had just started unloading the boats into the warehouse, and then they came, and it was just chaos. It was crazy. I didn't see much of it. I was told to run and hide. I'm not good in a fight. I just left home.
Hey, there's lots of us not so great in a fight. You know, that's just the way it works sometimes. But anyway, so what you're telling me is there's none of them left. Nobody else around here still, no, yes?
The dwarves left, and they took everybody. They just took them.
Which direction? Which direction they leave in? Back towards the...
He looks around, stops and steadies himself, realizing that he was going to be a sailor, and he's got to know his directions because he's a little flustered right now, and it looks like he's going to just point in a random direction. And then he thinks and goes...
I'll grab him by the shoulder, stare at him straight in the eyes, and be like, where did they go? I don't have a whole lot more time. The big guy, I got to go meet him.
He straightens up a little bit and says, south. They took everybody and all the supplies south.
So what kind of supplies?
I didn't look in there, but I was told it was things like furs and food and just things to keep the 10 towns supplied and furs alive and through food. The harsh winters. The things I was told that they need.
Like valuable supplies? Like, are they, what are you saying? Like, as far as what a man could fit in a backpack? How much would that you think that go for?
Survival supplies is what they were We were hoping to get valuables in return to sell for the supplies to keep people alive up here. I hear the winters are extremely volatile.
All right, little dwarf man, I think we should probably go the other way. The dwarves already got them. They're probably safe, happy, having a good drink in time. We should probably leave them be. Have the winter with the dwarves. They'll have a good time. We'll go the other way.
Well, I agree. However, we must punish these dwarves. They have created a grave sin by attacking this town unprovoked.
You don't know it was unprovoked. I think the dwarves, maybe they had a good reason for doing the attacking. We should probably leave them alone as well. And we should hit the road again.
I feel like heading south would be our best decision, yes. But we should get Uthal.
Oh, of course we get the big guy. All right, you kid. Yes. Kid, I don't know what to do with the kid. I'm gonna start talking to him for a second. I want to do a coin trick and then walk away.
I guess
no other words.
Roll a sleight of hand. And then give me the number, and then tell me what you're going to start talking to him before the coin trick.
All right, it's 19 plus 2, so that's 21 on the coin trick.
Nice.
I'm just going to just make a coin pop up out of nowhere, roll it back and forth between my fingers, go, well, you know, and I'm just going to turn around and walk away. I got nothing else to say to the kid. You can't help me any further. I don't really care about him that much, so I'm leaving.
As we're leaving, I tell him, do not worry, young one. Sharon Zar will punish these wicked men.
What's going to happen to me?
Do you have any family that you can return to?
Return how? The boats are gone.
There ain't no boats in the harbor.
Then we should take him with us.
I'm already gone. I'm like 30 feet up ahead of you, already walking back towards where we're supposed to be with all that. So it's kind of up to you at this point with the kid.
I'm going to see if the kid will follow us, and we can figure out like what else to do with him, because he doesn't seem like he can fend for himself in this town alone.
Well, as a side note, as far as you know from what you've learned from Kayveld and the way things happen here, is that this place does not stay isolated and empty. People are constantly coming in through the summer. So other boats will be here. Other traders will be here from 10 towns. You guys were just trying to be the first.
Okay, young one. Have you any food or any stores that you can have until the others arrive?
They took everything. They took all the food. I was lucky to get into this house and remain hidden and stay out of their capture.
I guess I'll give him one of my rations to like as something I can do.
And just like tell him to make good use of that and like just to wait for okay.
Yeah. Yeah, to ration the rations until others can arrive.
So, you guys then, I guess, head away from him and back to the town center where you're going to meet Uthal.
Yep, yep.
Yep.
All right. Well, you guys make it back to town. I'll let you guys kind of figure everything out.
I guess I'll share the information, or Kate, well, I guess you could, since you probably arrived there first.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm there way ahead of you. Hey there, big fella. You find anything over there?
No survivors, no supplies. Though, I did find an empty warehouse with indication that supplies were taken from the area.
Yeah, coming and going, pretty common around these parts. We found a kid.
Recently.
We found a kid, but he didn't have no money, so he's still back there. The dwarf talked to him for a while.
You left a child.
He's like 16 years old. That's like almost a man. He'll be fine.
Just the disdain in your voice. You left a child?
Where is the child now?
The little dwarf fellow was talking to him.
You mean the one right behind you?
Yeah, he was talking to him, though. So I figured, hey, he's a nice enough guy. I got no more time for this bullshit. So here back I came. The kid didn't have nothing. I'm going to sell stuff. The kid's not going to buy nothing.
No, he's not.
You want to get paid? I want to get paid.
Here's the fact of the matter that we are dealing with. We do need to make camp here at least for tonight to see if our other companions, mind you, your friends, survive the encounters with the Yetis. Where they are going to meet us.
You don't know Rorik and them. He'll be just fine. We'll stay here for a while, of course. Kid said something about some dwarves taking some people, heading down towards the south, but I don't really want to go there.
We should at least not to interrupt your delightful banter, but we should, if we are going to make camp here, we should have the child join us.
Oh, finally.
So, I tell you what, I'll go inside this house over here, get a little fire going, maybe cook a little. I got nothing to cook. Yeah, I'll find something. I'm gonna go down to the docks and see if I can scrounge up anything to eat from the seashore there. Mussels, clams, whatever else.
Okay. Give me a survival check.
That is a 14 plus 1. That's 15.
Yeah, I think you find probably exactly that. Just some mussels and random shellfish that you find nearby. The ground is pretty tough, so you're not going clamming or anything, and it's pretty cold up there for that, but you do find a few of the things that kind of stick to the rocks on the outside.
So I'm going to take all that stuff back and go to one of the houses, get a cook fire going, and start messing up with that stuff and throwing some hardtack in there, making some sort of really, really crappy chili.
Dwarf, let us fetch the child.
Indeed. I'll lead him back to where we found Nameless Child.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't think anything in particular exciting happens. So you just kind of go grab him, and he willingly follows you back at the mention of free food.
Yeah, does he like have any kind of reaction to Uthal since he's like gigantic?
He's already like really skittish, so it's not anything new. He was just witnessed this morning to a battle, so he's...
How old is this child?
You place him like early to mid-teens, somewhere between like 12 and 14, 12 and 15.
I told you, practically a man.
Yeah, like just old enough to start working on a ship.
Come, little one, what is your name?
He goes, my name is Kellen. I'm from Waterdeep.
Hello, Kellen. I am Uthal, Mountain Speaker. It is a pleasure to meet you.
I am Adric Ironfist.
I'm Kayveld, and this is my chili. If you want some chili, you're going to have to trade for some chili. I don't just give away chili.
Kayveld, you will share.
Yeah. Well, shit. I suppose we can share some chili, but I'll be honest with you, it's not going to be very good.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was anything more.
It's actually just some hardtack mixed with mussels and some salt water, boiled all together in a pan.
It's far better than what we've had the last couple of weeks on the river.
All right, well, while you guys are cooking up some food and chatting away, since the child is staying with you guys for safety over the night, do you have any other questions for him? Anything else that you wanted to ask? I know you weren't there for the initial questioning, Uthal.
So, my companions have already told me a little bit of what happened. Is there anything further you can share with us that would maybe of help?
There was about three ships that arrived. They sunk one of them. If you look off the coast just a little bit, you can see its mast. The other two, with a few people who didn't get captured, got away. I didn't make it to the ship before they left. That's why I'm still here.
I'm going to go up to the kid now that he's started talking about the ships. Get real close. Yo, we're good friends here, aren't we? Yeah, little Randy. We're good friends, yeah? You and I.
Who's Randy?
It's yeah. Kellen. Forgive our friend. His tact is lacking.
That's what I said. I said to him, hey, Gabriel. Randy. Anyway.
Give me one moment, and then you can interrogate the boy all you wish.
No, I'm just asking real friendly, but I'll give you a minute. Just have a couple questions.
So the boat that was sank, was there any goods on it still?
I don't think so. I think that we generally got most of the goods into the warehouse, and we're just planning to wait here for the first traders to arrive. And he's getting a little bolder now, so his quiver starts to go away a little bit. And we were going to make some money and sail back to Waterdeep and go about some of the easier shipping routes. Got the hard one out of the way first, they said.
Indeed they did, and you are now all the stronger because of this. Your companions may be fallen, but this is where we grow. This is where true heart is born. You will be stronger because of this.
At your words, he kind of puffs up a little bit, and you definitely see that you bolstered him a little bit.
Right, so a little, Kellen, Randy, it's all the same, really. It's the same name, almost.
Did you call me Lysol?
Hey, anyway. What was
that?
Did
you just call me Lysol?
Yes.
It could be. Yeah, let's call you Randy for now. Anyway, Kellen, sir. Now, we're going to talk. I need to know. The boats that came in, what were they called? You know, you should be taking a look. You're going to be a sailor. You should know what the other boats around you are.
The one that I came on was called Red Dawn. The one they sunk was what was it now? It was.
I'm just telling you right now. If you say it's Hasbakken's Glory, I'm gonna cut you.
No. Hasbakken's Glory was the other ship that escaped.
Good. Yeah.
The one that sunk.
No.
Was the.
No worries about cutting.
Oh. you don't. Okay.
I think we should stay here for at least a couple nights to see if our companions return to us. If not, I fear we must assume the worst.
Agreed.
Are you guys settling down for the night then?
Caveld?
Is there rafters or anything above us?
There's no raptors.
Rafters. like the beams that go across the roof.
And all of a sudden there are raptors. Rolling it. No.
It's Jurassic.
Can I get an animal handling check to tame one so I can ride it into battle?
You are not Chris Pratt, okay?
You would squash it.
So, all right. Caveld, you had your question.
Oh, yeah.
It's open sky above you.
What is it? I thought I was going into a house.
Yes, but they're burned out, remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, that sucks.
Caveld.
I'm going
to... As yep. much as you hate to admit it, I do think we need to give pursuit to the dwarves.
Well, I'll go with you, because obviously I'm not selling anything here.
Caveld.
In the morning, though. In the morning, not tonight.
Most people think I am a big dumb brute, but I can tell that one of these boats has gravely concerned you. And according to Kellen, they have taken crew members and villagers. People that are important of you could be with the dwarves.
I'm telling you right now, the crew members can go to hell.
I want to say the symbol that you speak of with the anvil, that is the symbol of the Iron Master dwarves.
Good.
They are.
It's always the dwarves.
They are a group that has concerned my god for us some time, and I would much like to join you in your pursuit.
Either way, the night grows long. I will take first watch for the evening.
All right, we have a deal. We'll go out in the morning, that's not a problem.
No.
I will go with you.
We'll wait for two fortnights.
You're gonna wait.
We must wait for the others.
You say two fortnights?
Why don't we leave it? That's a long time, man. That's a month.
My people have a different meaning for two fortnight. We will wait for two moons.
That seems longer.
That's like 2 months.
It does. It feels a very long time.
I assume I am talking about full moons.
If we're gonna wait around, I'll wait around. We'll do three tides. Three tides away. High tide, low tide, high
Either
tide,
way,
low tide. Each high tide counts as one. Anyway, basically, what I'm saying is 3 days.
All right. We're decided. Let us proceed.
Very well.
And then we'll leave a message with these kid for Rorik. And what's the other guy's name? I have to know the guy's name.
Was it Silent?
Yeah, Silent, I know the town.
Bob Billy?
Oh, yeah, Bob Billy. We'll leave.
Yeah, you guys named him.
That was a week ago. We'll leave a message with the kid for Rorik and Bob Billy. And then we'll do our thing. All right, so go into the night.
Are we doing a rotating watch, like every few hours?
I'm attempting to dodge out on watch if I can.
Well, I mean, I said first watch, and I'm assuming these two knocked out, right?
I immediately crashed out.
All right, well, I'll take first watch, which is going to be...
All my stuff tucked safely behind me.
I'm assuming first watch is going to be 4 hours is what I'm going to go for. Well, yeah, no, I'm watching for 4 hours.
As the night goes by and fades, nothing really happens. And if you whether you or not you switch off watch is all moot because the night passes uneventfully. The boy, Kellen, he cries out in his sleep a few times, probably traumatized from the witnessing of the battle at his age. And that's really the only excitement.
When he makes noise like that, if it wakes me up, I'm going to tell him, shut up! Shut up, kid! I'm trying to sleep over here.
The second day, did you guys want to, I mean, it's still a pretty rural thing. Did anybody want to go fishing or hunting to save some rations, or?
Yeah, I guess I'll go for a hunt.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe I rolled a one time when I was fishing and lost all my fishing gear, so.
That's true.
Can I search around the place, see if I can find any other fishing gear?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
I would like to take a hunt, but I want to take Kellen with me.
Okay. Yeah, he is fairly inexperienced. He's from a city, for one, and his first occupation was going to be a sailor. So he's not really used to the whole hunting thing. So you're going to roll disadvantage on your survival check because he'd be making noise and scaring stuff off.
So yeah, I'm going to leave out for my hunt and I go, Kellen, come. I will teach you how to find food in dire situations.
He looks around and he kind of waves his hand out to sort some of the discarded weapons and asks, should I take one of those?
No. I will hand you, I'm going to give him a javelin. You will use this.
He's not going to chase down reindeer with an axe.
No.
Wasn't that your way of hunting?
You are merely here to observe at this time. But this is just in case.
So you guys head out. I imagine it's going to take you a little bit to get out far enough to actually find something. So I'll go back to Kveld real quick. Roll me a perception just to be searching for any kind of gear.
16 plus, that's 19.
So you go and you check, being a seasoned fisherman, the places where people might hide some tackle if they're lazy and don't want to carry it back and forth between 10 towns and here. And you go out to the pier and one of them comes off of a hill, and the pier, before it hits the ocean, especially at low tide, the ocean never actually comes all the way up to the bottom of it. So you kind of go underneath it and back up against kind of the wall, if you will, on the land side. There is a little cubby that you reach in, and it's a jackpot. It's a pretty rudimentary line.
All right. That, tackle. That's my day right there. I'm gonna hang out. I got to pick some mussels off the shore and just be fishing off the end of the pier.
All right. Go ahead and give me your survival check.
That's a natural 20. That's a crit.
Oh, right. Okay. I'll tell you what you get, both of you, at the same time at the end. So we'll go back to Uthal.
Lowest one's going to be a 12.
Okay. That's with your half proficiency?
Yep.
All right. You go out. You don't get anything big, but you do manage to catch some smaller animals, like some rabbits and a few things that tend to come out in spring like that. That you're able to string up and take back to town. Kveld, with your nat 20, you land like the biggest fish that you've actually ever caught casting out into the ocean. And what makes it even more impressive is it's on this really crappy stick of a rod with just some leftover line and just like muscle for bait. You're fighting it and you're reeling it in, and The really tragic part about this, though, is that nobody was there to see you do it. And you end up pulling in, like, the biggest cod you've ever caught and that you've ever seen caught. And you'll be able to show off this fish, but nobody will be ever, besides you, have ever seen the beauty of you using this crappy tackle and just fighting it in and actually landing it.
Fair enough. I'm going to see if I can con... Caught Adric in there into carrying this fish back because it looks awfully heavy.
Well, I was trying to say that, like, what I was doing at the same time, but
yeah, no,
all right, well, fair enough.
I want to hear that too.
What?
I want to hear what Adric's doing for the day also.
Okay, I was going to try and gather, like, see if there's any kind of herbs around the town that can, like, heal, that I can identify as healing based on, like, my history and my what I was taught at my church.
Roll the medicine check for me.
Okay. That's a 24.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, as you go out, there's not a lot, but you do notice some flowers starting to sprout. You recognize them from pictures in some books that had been lying around your temple, and you can't recall the name of them, but they're pretty distinct, and you know that if you can get enough of them, you could probably attempt to whip together, like, a healing potion.
Okay, I'll spend the day doing that, and once we get back, I'm gonna try and make a healing potion.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna head on back to our little thing then, because if he is obviously nowhere in shouting range, I'm gonna head back the other way and start cutting this fish into real thin strips and trying to smoke it over a fire there at the back to base camp.
Okay. Everybody ends up doing whatever they need to get back to camp. Is there anything special that you want to add for your hunting trip, Uthal?
No, I think we're good.
While it's all smoking, I want to see, is there a tall building somewhere in this place? Is there like a one structure that's taller than the rest of them?
The warehouse.
Okay.
That Uthal was in earlier.
I want to see if I can find a safe-ish way to climb up on top of that warehouse.
There is a stairway that was still intact inside. It kind of led up to nothing, though.
What about climbing the side of the building?
All right, you're going to have to make an acrobatics check for me. Or athletics or acrobatics?
We're going with acrobatics. I'm better at that.
Okay, depending on how flashy you want to do it.
That's 13 plus 17.
Yeah, you with the building as burned as it is and as deteriorated as it is, you get your hands through the walls easy enough. You can grab the boards behind them. You find plenty of handholds to get up to the top. There's no roof, so it's just kind of like a wall at the top.
All right, so I want to kind of take a look around the surroundings while I'm up there, see if there's anything notable or worth anything. Like, not worth money this time, because I've already decided there's no money here. If there's anything around like worth investigating, worth looking at, dangerous possibly, anything like that.
Give me a perception check.
That is a 17 plus 3, so that's 20.
All right, so as you look out, you can actually see something you weren't able to notice from the ground is there is at least one ship that seems to be anchored out in the distance, just barely visible. Like, it's barely visible from where you are, and that's just because you're high enough now to kind of see over the curvature.
So
somebody's sitting out there just waiting.
With my seafaring knowledge there, do I have an idea of how far out it is? Like, I have an understanding of exactly how far away it is, if it seems to be moving, anything like that?
It does not seem to be moving. You can definitely tell that. As far as how far out it is, it's about the limits of your vision. Like, you got lucky to notice this.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm going to head back to camp, check on my fish.
It's a black, charred mess. You left it alone too long.
It was being smoked. It's like smoking it, not cooking. It could just be dried up into almost, you could almost powder it by your hands.
So nothing really happened this day, and it's back to kind of nighttime, sun setting, time for dinner, all that kind of stuff. Anything particular you guys want to do before heading to bed?
I want to attempt to make that healing potion that I was talking about earlier.
All right. Do you have any proficiency in alchemist tools?
No, I do not.
Okay. In that case, it's just going to be a flat intelligence check.
Intelligence check. Okay. I are smart. I got a 9.
9. Yeah, that's... You make flowery water. That's about the extent of your attempted creation here. You drink it, and you taste it, and... It's kind of like foofy designer water, but it doesn't do anything other than make you kind of feel a little douchey.
Perhaps I should have paid more attention to the priests when they spoke of such things.
It's all right, my friend. Have some fish. Fish will make you always feel better.
Thank you. I appreciate the gesture greatly, Kavald.
Hey, you kid, little kid. You could have half fish today. Half a ration, no charge for you today. But hey, remember Kayvild in the future. In case maybe later you have money, you think back to old Kayvild here, and we'll talk again later. What do you say, kid?
Yeah, he'll just take the fish. At this point, he's been with you already long enough to not really take much stock into what you actually say, and he just takes it with no intent of paying you or anything.
Yeah, he knows you're full of shit. Okay, well.
It's a fair reaction.
I mean, do either of you want to keep watch, or is it that you guys just want to go to bed because it's been pretty calm here?
Yeah. I think that sounds fine.
Gable's not one to worry too much. Nobody else is. Besides, I'm tucked in the furthest back corner away from any openings. So,
this night, you get woken up at some point, Kayvild. You can't immediately tell what time it is, but it's Kellen standing above you, just kind of gently shaking you. And he goes, "Sir?"
"Shit, kid, what's going on?"
I thought you should have this. And he pulls out a lockbox and hands it out to you and says, "I hid this in the house that I hid in because I didn't want anybody to get it. But clearly, the Habsbokken's glory means something to you. So this came off of it, and I managed to save it before the dwarves made off with it. I don't know what's in it. It's locked.
Well, about time you get something nice. See, this is what I'm talking about. I give you a fish. You give me a lockbox. Could have some money.
Gives it to the guy who's been treating him like trash the whole time.
I told him thank you.
God. Oh, well, then that's different then.
All right, so I'm assuming, do I recognize this lockbox at all? Is it familiar to me?
You actually, you recognize it, yeah, immediately.
All right, so I want to, Randy, you go ahead and head on over. You go back to sleep. This is good. Hey, tell you what, I'm going to reach in my bag and I'm going to give him an extra chunk of just super ultra dried fish. I'm just going to reach in my backpack, just hand him this huge chunk, put it in his hand, be like, oh, that's a good deal.
Turns the powder.
That's a good deal. And turns the powder in his hand, and I turn around and send him on his way.
He gets out a little Ziploc baggie, just pours the powder in it, shakes it up, pours it into water, makes a milkshake.
It's a protein powder.
I'm going to open this box.
You don't have a key to it, so...
But I do have thieves' tools. What?
You do.
Oh, snap.
And I have a crowbar, so... If it comes down to it.
I imagine this is probably something you wouldn't want to break, though.
Okay, fair enough. I know enough about its contents, or what was its contents.
You don't know its contents, but you do recognize this box as being present in the captain's quarters of the ship while your father was captaining it.
Okay.
And you guys don't know that, you two, Adric and Uthal. That's privy to Kayveld at the moment.
All right, I'm going to try to quietly pick the lock on this thing.
All right, so you're going to do Dex plus your proficiency?
Yep.
Because you have proficiency in thieves' tools.
It's a 19 plus 2 plus 2, so...
Jeez, man.
I'm having good rolls tonight.
You are. You got the... You've got RNGesus on your side.
Yesterday I was wrecking boats on needing to roll a 9.
Okay, so after fiddling with it, you're not even actually trying. You touch this, you recognize it, you've held it in your hands before, and even though you don't have the key, you know exactly the right touch for this thing, and it just opens up for you.
All right, so... What's inside? So I want to look through, see what's inside real quick.
A single paper. And on the paper, as you skim through it, this is the deed to the ship.
So I'm going to slip that back into the lockbox carefully and quietly, lock it all back up and shove it back in my bag. And while I do it, is Kellen still awake?
Yeah, he hasn't. It hasn't been very long since he gave it to you.
Right. Now we have to kill him.
So at the same time that I do that, I want to try to slip that, like, make it look like there was nothing in the box except for this one paper, the ledger paper that I stuffed in my bag earlier. I'm like, what is this shit?
Sleight of hand for me. You're switching hands. You're doing some tricky stuff. You're gonna have to sleight of hand.
It's a 12. That's 14. Come on, it's dark. He's a ways away. It's got to be good.
Yeah, I would give that for him. His perception's at disadvantage right now, so. Definitely you succeed in pulling one over on this 12-year-old boy.
Yes! So I want to make a big full-on show of it. Make it look like this is all that was in that box. I'm like, what is this shit? What is this shit, kid? This is nothing. Give me back my fish.
I ate the fish, sir.
Now you owe me a new fish. You're going to have to get a new fish tomorrow. I'm going back to bed.
I'll try, sir. No, I'll try.
You don't talk to me anymore. This makes me angry. That's just paper. I gave you a whole bunch of fish, and you give me this shit paper.
Oh, man.
I'm gonna walk back over there, pull my hat over my eyes, and go to sleep.
Okay, well, what's your alignment again?
I don't have one. Anywhere the wind blows.
Okay, so... I think I told you too. I don't really care about alignments for this. I want it to be more fluid than that.
I know. I thought it would be funny if he was like, "Lawful good, just get like garbage."
So, night goes by. Nothing else really happens, and you come to the. It's the third day in the town, and so far, it seems like nobody's going to get here yet. You guys got here extremely early. Like, you wanted to be the first ones here, and you definitely were. And it's dawning on you that it might be a week or more before other people show up, and that you might not have that much time. Because if another ship shows up, you imagine at this point, after talking with Kellen, that those dwarves might notice it prior to somebody else showing up, and just being the four of you against how many had came before, which he didn't count, but he definitely said was a lot, wouldn't be ideal. We'll just put it that way.
All right, so we're on day three, fellas. I don't think Rorik's making it today. I don't think anybody else is coming. If we're going to go look for little towns people got taken, I think it's probably about time we head out.
I do agree. We must begin our pursuit quickly.
Yes, let us move.
Hey there, little Andy.
Who? What?
Andy!
He's Andy now?
Well, I've been calling him Andy the whole time.
I thought you said Randy.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Randy. Yeah, I apologize. I got your name wrong. I'm going to put my arm around Kellen over there. I'm sorry. I called you Andy. It was Randy the whole time. I'm going to need you to dig me a hole.
A hole?
With your hands. Go ahead now. Now I'm going to need you to go dig me a hole.
He looks at you. He looks back at Uthal, who he's been spending a bit of time with, and he looks back at you again and says, fuck off.
I'm going to be very convincing. I'm going to have my arm around the guy. I'm like, let's listen here. I need you
Javild,
to
we're
you.
Wasting
dig
time.
Me a
let's go.
Uthal, what have you been teaching him?
You're teaching him all kinds of bad language. You're a terrible influence.
No, I merely gave the boy
a
spine.
You are a bad man.
Pot, meat, kettle.
What are you talking about? Cable's a good fella.
At this point, I'm just going to nudge Cable and say, let's go.
I still want this kid to dig me a hole, though, because I want to put my scrimshaw and shit in there before I leave. I don't have to carry all this shit everywhere.
After spending enough time with you, he is... I don't think you'd be able to make a persuasion check, or if you did, you'd be at disadvantage. So you'd have to figure out another way to get him to do it, or just give up on it.
All right. I guess I'm throwing everything in the bag and carrying it with me anyway. All right, but now you still owe me a fish, you little bastard.
Let's go.
You just, as you start to walk off, he just gives you the finger.
Okay. Uthal, he is not spending any more time with you.
I told you, he's a bad influence. You should leave the kid with this little short fellow over here.
Yes, well, either way, let us go.
Much friendlier guy. Big old jackass.
So, Adric, you had spent some time with the dwarves back in Ten Towns, kind of learning the location and the area, because you had a particular interest in Iron Master anyway. Mm-hmm. You recognize it as being, as far as foot travel, 2 days to the south. There is a city up nestled in the hills, kind of in a naturally defensive area. It's got some mountain walls on either side, and you have to go through a few hill paths that get higher and higher in altitude to get there. It's pretty rough. It's a couple days to the outskirts of the territory, and then probably another half a day going in to actually reach where you imagine the city walls would be.
Okay. Can I use this kind of knowledge to help me guide us in on a quicker path or maybe an alternate path to like not go directly for the city gates?
I like that idea. Yeah. Go ahead and drop me a history check. I think it would be, since you've never actually been here before. So you'd be relying on other knowledge.
Okay. 21.
Okay. Yes, and remind me about that too, because there's going to be one main route that's going to get you there that there's really no other way for, but as you get closer, remind me about that and I'll help you guide your team to a maybe less conspicuous entrance.
Okay.
All right. So, you guys are on the road again. And
we're on the road again.
It's not so much a road this time, despite what I just said.
It's not so much a road again.
Iron Master aren't keen on trading with non-dwarves, and so really all that you have to follow is kind of a muddy warpath that kind of came down to the town and back. And frankly, with a couple days having passed by, it's definitely still visible, but it's that's really all you have to go on. But based on your history and knowledge of the area, you definitely tell it's taking you in the right direction, Adric. What's your marching order?
Since I kind of, well, I guess
I'm sticking to the back, so I'm.
Yeah, I was gonna go forward.
I guess I'm in the middle.
Yeah, since I kind of like have a knowledge of kind of how to get there, even though I've never been there myself, but I know how to find them. So I would go first.
You guys go ahead and kind of start heading that way. Nothing happens during the first day. You march on for a while, and it's pretty empty. You haven't really seen much of anything, and I guess because of your special talent, your spider sense, Uthal, you also noticed one thing in particular. You don't hear animals either. Like, the whole day, you haven't heard much of anything. It's just kind of barren, just wind.
Duly noted.
So you make it about halfway to the territory and on schedule, pretty good time. And you can press, do you want to press on through the night? Do you want to make camp?
I'm going to advise to everyone that we make camp, where we must be fully prepared should we encounter the Iron Master dwarves.
Yeah, I'm saying cold camp tonight, my friends. These guys make me a little on the nervous side. You can have some of this powdered fish.
As they should. They are not welcoming.
Have you not noticed how quiet it is?
It is unnaturally eerie in around here, as Uthal points out.
There's no wildlife in the area. I agree. No fire tonight.
Yeah, cold camp, powdered fish. Sounds like a good day.
Either way.
Are we going through woods, anything like that? Are there trees?
Nope.
Like old pine trees?
Still tundra. Just open tundra. About another day's time, you might start seeing sparse trees as you get closer to the hills to the south before the mountain range.
Dwarf, you have first watch.
Very well.
I'm going to foxhole it, but this time I'm a little on the nervous side, so I'm not, my hat doesn't go over my eyes this time.
Okay.
I'm going to dig me a little depression and just foxhole it right down there.
So night goes by. How long are you staying awake, Adric?
I was thinking of doing half the night and then wake up one of them.
Okay. Who are you waking up?
Since I know Uthal did watch last time, I'm gonna try and wake up K-Vault for watch and get him to do something.
I'm awake, my friend. Look, creepy okay. Out here.
It is. It's your turn for the watch.
I'm gonna intentionally be as quiet as I can as I get up. Just gonna get up, kinda hunch down somewhere. And nervous as I'll get out. I don't like being out in the open this much.
Oh, no.
I'm gonna attempt to cover his face with something.
And press down.
I'm not a murderer. I'm a swindler. Difference.
Yeah. Well, let's do that. Let's go for a strength checks, guys.
I'm throwing something over your face. You make me too nervous to get that close for that kind of crap.
Come on, nobody wants to do strength checks with me?
I'm fully aware that I'm no match.
I feel like even if I throw my whole body on top of you, it'll be like lifting up a punching bag.
K-Veld, make a perception check. This isn't a sight check, so you don't have disadvantage. You can have a regular one.
Okay, it's an 11 plus 3, so 14.
You hear a pounding, like kind of far apart footsteps, and you hear them often enough and out of sync enough, you can tell that there's probably about two or three sets of them.
Okay, so either one of them, well, the dwarf's got dark vision.
Yep.
Giants have dark vision? No, I don't know the rules on this stuff.
Goliaths do not have dark vision.
Oh, shit. Well, I guess that's probably something I wouldn't have known directly. I'm gonna go see if I can wake up Uthal there, because he's bigger than the other one. And real quiet, like, shake him off. I'll have my finger over my lips.
I'm gonna nod and slowly rise to my feet in more of a prone position to lower my profile.
All right,
so you're on your feet, but you're also kind of prone?
Kind of crouched
over.
A sprinter stance, almost.
Oh, okay. And so you're staying low, and the way you describe it sounds kind of like you're trying to be somewhat stealthy, right?
Yeah. I also want them to kind of misconcept me as something smaller.
So roll stealth checks.
Both of us?
Yeah.
Okay. That is a 19.
It's plus a 19.
That's 20. I got 21. With my
I got a flat 19.
Adric.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to roll whatever the opposite of a stealth check is. A noise check.
What would that be exactly like?
I don't know. A snore check. Just to see if you make any noise.
It'd still be a stealth check, wouldn't it? It's still how much noise he made.
Make a stealth check, but it's going to be rated backwards. So if you roll, it's almost more like a stealth saving throw.
Okay, so I guess just dex. I had my dex then.
You know what? No, though. Use your stealth. You don't have proficiency in stealth, do you?
And he is wearing chainmail.
Yeah, it's not stealth though. It's
I'm detecting stealth is what he's trying to imply. I assume.
No, you're giving away stealth. Is what I'm trying to apply to see if you are or not. Actually, roll a Constitution saving throw because it's directly related to health.
Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ!
Damn it,
we're boned.
Yeah, that's a that's
it
a
is. I'm staying wide hidden.
That's a crit one, so 4 total.
Crit one.
So he just like wakes up screaming.
It's at this point I pick up a dwarf and throw it at the sound.
Yeah.
No, it is just a loud like sleep apnea style snore that only a dwarf could pull off. Just like, and then he farts a little, and but it's also loud.
It's all that oily fish K-Ball gave us.
He's just grabbed himself.
Yeah,
do we have anything non-lethal I can throw at him?
Two of you two are pretty confident in that you wouldn't be seen immediately, but that definitely, when he did that, immediately afterward, you hear nothing where you were hearing those steps, and then you hear some, you can't make it out. It's some deep, gravelly voices. You can't really hear what they're saying. And then you hear those kind of far apart but off sync footsteps slowly heading your way, but not very stealthily. Like they're just kind of plomping along.
Am I still asleep? Like
I'm gonna throw like a rock or something like that, try to get him in the head, see if I can wake him up. I'm not getting close enough to him. I'm staying back. Throw like a small rock.
Alright, Just make like a ranged attack with dex. It's not going to be damaging. It's just going to be.
Well, here comes my bad roll since I'm attacking. That was a 4 plus 2. So I'm missing. I made more noise in his area to attract things to him. That's
pretty much what happened. You didn't hit him to wake him up. You like hit his chainmail and it made some rock on metal sound.
I want to tie a bell to him at this point.
Have a bell.
I feel like that would make less noise than what we're doing right now.
As Kaveld is throwing the rock at Adric, you see two figures. They are about the same height as Uthal, but broader and fatter, plomping along towards you, staring intently in the direction that they heard some noise.
Are they talking?
Not now. They think they're stealthy, but they're not. But because they think they are, they're being quiet.
But as an off chance, are these giants?
You don't know.
The dwarves.
You can't tell yet. It's still dark.
Are they making enough noise that could possibly have me wake up from it? Like, how close are they to me?
I mean, they're coming at you. They just came into sight over one of the small hilly terrain areas. What I described is just the silhouette, and that's all you can make out at the moment. If you wanted to roll a knowledge check, I would say either history or nature would work just fine to see if you can recognize their silhouette. But because it's dark, the DC will be a little higher than normal. And
what else happens?
They just continue to get closer.
All right, so I'm gonna try to wake them up again. So I've got a bell. What else do I got on me? I've got a hammer.
Oh jeez. All right.
I've got ball bearings. Okay, I want to take a handful of these ball bearings and throw it and see if I can get them in the face with them. All right, there's like a handful, so I'm shotgunning it.
You throwing
time.
Them at Adric, or are you throwing them at the figures coming your way?
I'm throwing them at Adric, trying to wake his ass up. I'm slowly backing further away. So
this
I'm
is like
further away from where the noise is going
to
happen at.
Trying to wake me up, not give me brain damage.
These are ball bearings; they're not very big, like small marbles.
Yeah, you toss those out. Because it's kind of a spread shot, I don't even think that you need to roll this time. Some definitely hit him and wake him up. And as he wakes up and turns his, like, shakes the sleep out and looks down, he notices these figures too. And they are only about 60 feet off at this point. And with that noise, starting to pick up the pace. Let's go ahead and roll initiative.
Awesome.
18, and I get to add my charisma to it, so that would be a 21.
Oh, nice.
Welcome to being a swashbuckler.
I got a 5.
Well, you were sleeping, so that's fair.
Yeah, I'm still a little groggy from getting hit in the head with ball bearings and being woken up from my nap.
You took a bunch of balls to the face.
And I should probably mention at this point, you do see 4 of these figures now. That's why they're so out of sync.
I thought they were dumb.
Mine was an 18, by the way.
So we have an 18, a 21. What was Adric's? I'm sorry.
5.
All right. So this round, and you guys can do whatever you want, the two people in stealth, Uthal and Kayveld, have not yet been noticed, so you can have the opportunity to act first.
Sounds good. I'm gonna shoot one of them. They're running at me. I'm nervous already. I'm not even going to question whether or not I'm supposed to kill these guys. I'm gonna launch an arrow at one.
All right. So take advantage on your attack because you're attacking from stealth.
19, so it's 19 plus...
That's totally a hit. You're
okay.
Good.
All right. That's a 1. That's a 6. And that's a 6. 13.
13?
Nice.
Plus 2. So, yeah, plus 2.
So 15.
15. I'm aiming at the... Well, I guess they're all kind of a conglomerate group, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty close together. So I just imagine, what, the first one, the closest one to you?
Yeah, I'm aiming, like... Which are they single file line coming at us? They kind of like
they are unorganizedly coming at you in the same general area.
I'm hitting the closest one, and then I'm gonna use my I've got my bonus move every turn. I'm gonna go for a hide again. Immediately attempt to just sneak in this.
So your original hide, it was because it was dark and you were kind of low to the ground and they weren't expecting you. Now that at least this one has taken some damage, it's gonna be a little harder to hide from them. I need you to tell me how you're gonna hide.
So remember how I dug that foxhole earlier, and I'm obviously not in it anymore because I went over to Uthal to wake him up.
That's true.
I'm kind of going for a roll into that foxhole with my cloak down because it's dark outside. I figure I can hide that way.
All right, you know where it is. You dug it, so you know the land around it. Go ahead and make acrobatics check, but with advantage, just because you are familiar with the terrain, okay. Having shaped it yourself.
God, I got advantage. 14 plus 4, 18.
All right.
My first roll was 2.
With the first roll, you would have been Paul Blarting your way across the ground. But with the 18, you actually pretty nimbly kind of dive forward, tuck your head under, do a low-to-the-ground somersault, and then a sideways roll into your foxhole. And they have no idea. They look towards where that arrow came from, and you're just gone from that area. And when the arrow hit him, by the way, he did cry out, everybody heard the same thing. It was just kind of a gravelly, it sounded kind of like nonsensical roar, except to Uthal, who actually heard, "Ouch, that hurts."
They're giants.
And as they're getting closer, Uthal, you actually, with them getting this close and you hearing that and hearing the intonation, inflection, they're not giants. You can recognize them at this point as ogres.
Ogres, 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 ogres. Okay. At this point, I'm going to withhold my action then. But if they continue to rush and get any closer to our dwarf friend, I'm readied myself into a sprint to where I'm going to shoulder charge the one that gets within, we'll say, 7 to 10 feet.
All right. That was the surprise round then, and you are actually still in stealth, Uthal. And now, Correct. so is I didn't have you make the stealth roll again, did I?
No, you had me do a dex roll.
Right, to get to your stealth location. Go ahead and... No, I'll give it to you. You made that roll pretty good. I'll give it to you this round.
All right.
The true initiative starts now that the surprise round is over. Kayveld, it's back to your turn.
Yeah, I'm definitely going for a bow shot again. Same guy.
With advantage again from stealth.
I don't need it because that's 20.
Oh, shit. you hit. Go ahead and roll that D100, and we'll see what additional effect you have.
That is a 41.
You get one extra damage die from your weapon plus your sneak attack.
4 it is, 4d6, plus 2 on one of them. Well, I needed them all. That's a 1, plus 2, plus 2, 5, 9, plus 2, so 11. I hit him better without critting last time.
All right, is that it, or are you going to...
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can duck back in and hide back in my foxhole. If I popped up to shoot, I'm going to see if I can pop back down and without him noticing.
Before the arrow lands, I get it, yeah. Roll me a stealth.
I am not successful. That was a 3.
All right, so the arrow hits him, and he's like, "Who keeps doing that?" And he looks over, and he just sees your captain's hat sticking up above the foxhole, and he goes, "Oh,
shit about me, my friend."
All right, Uthal, it's your turn now.
I'm still waiting to see when they start getting close to her, because our dwarf companion, he's the closest to the ogres, correct?
Yeah, you guys kind of left him out as bait because he kind of attracted him.
Well, so like I said, I'm withholding my action until once I can kind of project that they're going to be within 7 to 10 feet of him. I'm just going to kind of start my charge in, shoulder check the first one, and then as a bonus action, enter my rage.
All right. So two of the ogres, neither of them are injured, actually start rushing forward at the location of the arrows that they noticed coming at the exclamation of the first guy. The other two are pulling out javelins and throwing them at Kayveld, and I'll go with that first. Kayveld, you're in that foxhole. You have cover, so you're going to get a bonus to armor class.
All right.
No. So javelins fly, and one, like, lands in the foxhole. Or not in the foxhole, in the front of the berm for the foxhole. And the other one kind of sails over your head and lands behind you. The other two charge in. They don't quite make it to you, but they do make it probably within, both of them, within about 10 feet of Adric's position.
Okay, well then, it's time to rumble. I'm going to enter in as a rage first.
Okay.
And then just kind of take off at a dead sprint, you know, and just kind of wing my axe into it in that kind of like, you know, like a batter stance, kind of just digging my heels and swinging at the first one there, just going for the gut.
Okay.
Cool. That's going to be 21.
That's a hit.
Jesus. 17.
Okay. He goes, "Oh, why you do that?" It is Adric's turn now.
I'm going to kind of move back and try and cast a spell against them, Guiding Bolt at level 2.
Okay, what's that do?
A flash of light streaks towards a creature of your choice within range. I make a ranged spell attack. On a hit, the target takes 4d6 radiant damage. And the next attack roll made against this target, it has advantage.
Okay.
I light him up.
Are you attacking the same one that Uthal charged, or are you attacking the additional one that he didn't?
I'm going to try and damage the one that he didn't.
Okay, make a ranged spell attack.
Come on, baby Jesus.
Who's got the train?
That is at 19.
19?
Yes.
That's a hit, and the train is gone. Woohoo!
Yeah. And that's 5d6s that I get to roll because I cast it at level 2.
Yeah, go for it.
21 total.
He kind of lifts his hands up to his face, like, from the bright light, and just kind of starts shaking his head and roaring out in pain as these bolts kind of sear into him, kind of making him turn away from his initial charge towards you. We're going back to Kayveld. It is your turn.
All right. So how close is this injured one to me, and how bad is he looking? I mean, is he looking pretty roughed up, or is he looking like he's still pretty healthy? The one that I've been hitting.
He's slowed down some, but he doesn't look like he's in dire straits yet. They're just kind of arrows sticking out of his fat right now.
I'm gonna see if I can get him in the eye with another arrow.
Oh, so you're aiming for the eye. All right. I like this. You're calling a shot. Let's go ahead and how this is gonna work is you can still hit him with a regular attack, but if you roll a high enough one, you'll hit your eye target. Go ahead and roll.
OK. Okay. 15, and then my plus on that, a short bow is plus 4, so that's a 19.
Yeah, you hit him in the eye.
Yes!
You're blinding him with one. So go ahead and roll your damage. No sneak attack, though, this time, because they know where you are.
4 plus 2, 6. And then I'm going to immediately dash away in kind of a towards Uthal's direction there.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So you head up into kind of the melee range with Uthal?
Yeah, somewhere right in there.
Okay. Uthal, it is your turn now.
All right, so now removing my axe, I'm just going to come up and around again and remove my axe and kind of swing it around and kind of come down towards a collarbone strike. So
the same guy or the guy that Adric hit and gave advantage to?
The same one. I mean, I'm okay. Battle rage mode right now, so I'm kind of just focused.
You kind of laser focused on it? All right. Go ahead. Yeah, make your attack roll. Try to hit him in the jugular.
I was going to go for a nut shot, but that works too.
So is this the part where I roll a percentile die? It's a nat 20.
Did you get a nat 20 also?
Shit, dude.
Dang, guys. Yeah, roll a percentile die.
That is going to be 98%.
98. All right. You are going to deal triple damage. Just go ahead, roll once and triple it, and let me know what the damage is, and I'll describe the rest of it.
Okay. Hang on. I got to do a lot of math. Leave me alone. it's going to be a total of 45.
45?
That's tripled, yeah.
Jeez, man. So you bring your axe around, and you go for his neck, and you just... spot on, nail it with just enough force that the axe goes all the way through and out the other side. And you, in true to form, like you did with the goblins, just take his head right off. And you got a knack for aiming it, and it just kind of sails across the moon, just like before. You're making an art form out of this. You're down one ogre.
Nice.
The one that's been being pelted with arrows goes, "No, Frank!"
Not the ogre's name is Frank.
Well, you guys don't know what he's saying.
Yeah, only Uthal knows this. Okay, it is their turn now. The one that Adric hit turns towards Uthal because they're pretty close together. Sees his buddy get his head taken off with one mighty swing, and he kind of lifts up a great club, just this huge, just massive club, no real particular shape. And he's going to get disadvantaged because I think that seeing his friend's head taken off in such a manner from healthy to nothing kind of demoralized him a little. Yeah, he does hit. He brings it back, and with you being kind of in full swing against his buddy still, he hits you in the back between the shoulder blades for 12 damage. But with resistance, that's going to be cut in half, right?
Yeah, but...
6 damage.
I am... still a Goliath.
You have that stone skin thing, don't you?
I do. So I'm going to roll a d12 and add my constitution modifier and avoid that much damage. I avoid 4 of it. That was a low
right,
roll.
You take 2 damage. You just get a slight bruise right between your shoulder blades.
It works out that kink you had from earlier sleeping on the ground.
Yeah. You ask him for his card so you can see him for future chiropractic visits.
I mean, in my battle rage, I just kind of, as a reaction to that, I just want to roll around and be like, in giant, just shout at him.
If that is the best you can do, you will have to try harder.
And he kind of looks back at you and goes, yeah, that was pretty much the best.
Here's my card.
Yeah, here's my card. And seeing how little he did, it's still kind of his turn. He actually turns, and I guess you're going to get an opportunity here, because he turns and starts to run away, because... that was kind of his best shot, and he doesn't want to die, so he's running.
Okay, so 18.
That's a hit.
That's going to be 15.
Yeah, so you hit him, and he looks fairly injured at this point, but not bad enough that he can't pretty much run at full speed back, and just you see him kind of barrel between his two javelin-wielding friends. Their arms were already cocked, though, mid-throw when this was happening, and one of them... is throwing towards Uthal, and the other one is throwing at Kayveld, who they saw dart like a rabbit from his hidey hole.
One of them should have disadvantage. One of them's missing a freaking eye. It's got an arrow sticking out.
One of them does
eyeball.
Have disadvantage. You are correct.
That should be the one that's throwing at me. I'm just going to say that right now.
It is. Yes, it absolutely is. I had that planned. I just hadn't said it. Thank you for making me make that audible. With disadvantage, actually, both javelins still hit. Everything I rolled was above your guys' armor class. Now that you're out in the open. So for Kayveld, it's 8 damage.
I got nothing to mitigate that.
And 11 damage, so actually 5, I think, to Uthal. So that's after, of course, your resistance.
So as the javelin hit me, I'm just going to kind of give out just a bellowing roar as well, just kind of continuing to go crazy at this moment.
I'm kind of look at where this thing hit me, like, son of a bitch! I like this coat!
Yeah, right? Yeah, it nailed you pretty good. It didn't, like, go through or stick in you, but it left you a pretty good gash right on the side. Your hat's safe, though. There's an upside.
That's a win!
Adric.
Okay, so the one that I hit with the Guiding Bolt earlier, I'm going to hit him with a level 1 Guiding Bolt this time because I want to save at least one of my level 2s.
Go for it.
So I get advantage on this one because he's all glowy from when I hit him last time. That is 16.
That is a hit.
Okay, so that is 4d6s. 19 damage on that guy.
Yeah, and actually that was just enough. It was almost like a trick shot. You just kind of
curb the blast.
Lift your hand up and like make a basketball throwing motion, and these bolts come out and they like lob and float and then fall down as he's running and hit him in the back, and he just falls down on his face. He's just no longer moving. The other two, simply being the last two left, are starting to look a little worried. Like, maybe this was more than they can chew, but it is Kayveld's turn.
I'm gonna gun for the one that I hit. I'm gonna go for his other eye.
Ooh.
His other. All right.
That time we got a 13 plus 4, so that's a 17.
I wouldn't say that's enough for the eye, but you do hit him, so just do your regular damage.
That's a 5.
All right. Same guy you've been attacking, huh?
Yep.
He's like, why do you keep picking on me? I'm just hungry.
I had powdered fish, you ass.
Obviously, only Uthal knows what he's saying. All right, it is Uthal's turn.
Wait, hold on, I got an extra movement.
Oh, you do, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to dash kind of behind and away. So behind Uthal and away, seeing if I can get kind of out of basic range at the same time. Duck. I'm doing a duck and cover is what I'm doing.
Got it. Yeah, you head on kind of, you put Uthal between you and them, and you head backwards quite a bit. So
okay.
I see what you're doing. You successfully run away. Your new name is going to be Sir Robin.
Bravely ran away.
All right. Now it's Uthal's turn.
What is the distance between the javelin huckers and us?
From you, about 40 feet.
Okay. I would like to get into range, but that's not going to happen. But since I'm all coked up in a rage right now... Is there any way I can kind of maybe do like a sprinting jump towards these guys? And I'm just going to bring my axe down.
To get your weapon up and in place at the same time as sprinting, I think is asking a little much of the actions. I'd let you throw in that momentum for a shoulder charge or something.
What if I get a good athletics check?
Yes, with the DC will be a little high, but yes, I'll give you that.
All right, what's my DC? Actually, you know, don't say
an
18. Don't tell me.
An 18.
No, I don't want to know.
Well, now you know.
It's a 19 now.
So, if it's
now
a
it's 19, a 20.
All right, if it's an 18, then I have to roll at least a 12.
I saw that look.
It is, can we bring that DC down by like 10 points?
What did you roll?
Numero dos.
Oh. Yeah, so you start to charge, and I imagine you still use your dash to get close, and you leap. And as you're coming down with your weapon prepped like you wanted to, the one that you're coming down at looks up, moves his arm to this, just drops his javelin for the moment, and shoves his arm up and pretty much gets the shock all in his arm in towards him, and he pushes back out and pushes you back kind of onto your ass kind of in front of him.
Oh.
So you are there, no attack. You are there, and you're just on your butt.
Okay.
Not fully prone, just on your butt.
Okay.
Got a stiff arm.
Yeah, you got stiff-armed. You That was your turn. So it is their turn now. One of them, actually just simply, the one that's kind of been being peppered by, which one did you go for? The one with the arrows or the one that hadn't been hurt yet?
The one that hadn't been hurt yet.
Okay, perfect. The one with the arrows is pretty much done with this fight. He tries to do what his friend did and starts to run away and gets about 40 feet. The one that you just jumped at, he's going to pick up his feet. He's going to try to kick you in the face.
In the face.
And that's a hit. It is 6 damage, but I'd still say that's bludgeoning. He still connects pretty solid with your face, but it's only 3 damage taken. This guy, you go ahead. You're on your butt, so take disadvantage on the attack, but he's going to start to run away also.
Okay.
So he kicked you in the face and run away like a little girl.
He did. That's exactly what he did.
I'm just going to let out a bellowing laugh at him.
You're just going to let him get away? No opportunity to attack?
Oh, yeah, never mind. Redemption. That's going to be 22.
22, that's a hit.
Okay. And so damage is going to be 18 on that one. Now I'm just going to just shout out, "Is that all?"
And he shouts back, yeah, that's pretty much it. Bye.
Is there any way I can use my Storm Herald here?
Yeah, why not? You haven't had a chance to use it yet. Let's let him try to dodge that. Dex saving throw?
The DC is going to be... It's going to be 12.
Yeah, he fails it. So how much damage?
It's going to be 9.
So he actually says with shattering teeth, yes! and continues to run.
Okay. Have a nice day.
And... that's a completed combat for you guys. Da, 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 da. You have beat the ogres. You can rest easily now, knowing that they probably won't mess with you again.
Now, before we do anything else, I'm going to search the one dead one, see if he's got anything on him. Immediate pat down.
A loincloth and like a necklace made of like just like a tribal looking thing with like teeth and feathers and stuff.
I'm going to put that in my packet.
Okay.
Also want to open around, look through. Nothing else on them whatsoever, just wearing a loincloth?
Yeah, they're not...
They're ogres, man.
Yeah, they're not very sophisticated. They've got, like, some cloth wrapped around their feet, like a loincloth, and, like I said, like that tribal kind of necklace kind of thing. Looks like a 3-year-old made it in arts and crafts.
Yeah, I definitely pocketed it anyway. I mean, that went straight to the bag.
there's some macaroni on it. There's...
Yeah, I'm kind of poking around with a dagger. I want to pry open his mouth, too. I don't think I'm going to find anything, but... just in case.
Rotten teeth.
No gold teeth.
These guys don't brush.
These guys suck.
It stinks.
At this point, I'm just saying, cowards will run and hide. I will find rest. And I just go back to sleep.
All right. Go ahead. Benefit from a full rest. Get anything back that you need to get back. Gain your health back. And I'll just end with a bit of narration. You wake up the next morning. By the time morning rolls around, you're actually hearing like birds chirp and stuff like that again. The sounds of spring on the tundra, and you're feeling much more comfortable. And you make it through the next day with no real trouble. You camp the next night, a couple of you swap watches, nothing really big happens, you all get more rest. And you end up finally coming within the half a day on the third day to the point at which you can see the walls of Ironmaster, the surface city, at least, as you know it. It's at this point where Adric takes everybody aside and says, or lets them know, I won't speak for you, lets you guys know that there may be an alternate entrance where you're not walking directly in the front door, but it might take the rest of the day to find it. And with that, you begin your search for the side entrance, or the hidden entrance, if you will, to Ironmaster. Hi, everybody. Cody here. I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you to everybody who's been listening so far. We plan on having new episodes out every other week. And as we're having fun doing this, we don't expect to stop anytime soon. None of us have ever done a podcast before, so it's been quite the endeavor, but it's fulfilling, and we really enjoy putting it out there. So please, if you've enjoyed it as well, be sure to subscribe, tell your friends, help this thing grow. We are looking at putting together a Twitter handle and maybe a subreddit in the future, so look out for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and see you in a couple weeks.